Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, and in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Maya. So January 1st was the deadline for a number of college applications. And so in the Caldwell household, and I know a number of other households out there too, where there was a high school senior in the house, there was a lot of thought given to college essays. You remember those? If you are a high school student, not yet a senior, they are coming. And for those essays, you get to answer questions like this. This is a classic college essay, one that showed up in Lucy's applications. Describe an experience that helped you define yourself as a person. Write about an experience that helped define you as a person. Can be a challenging question to think about. What was a single experience? As I watched my daughter filling out these applications and answering that question, I wondered, what would I say today if I had to answer that question, but could include experiences not just before high school? Would I maybe talk about experience in college, like a retreat or a mission trip I took with my InterVarsity Christian Fellowship group? Would I talk about an experience after college, like that formative time I got to serve as a summer youth director at East San Diego Presbyterian Church? I got to work with youth from rival street gangs and discover what big hearts and great interests they had in faith and community. Would I talk about experiences after college, like an ordination service or an installation service out at the church in Connecticut or here with you all? Would I write about that experience of meeting Jill in college or meeting my daughter when she was born? Those are two people who certainly have had a big impact on my journey. Write about an experience that helped define you as a person. How would you respond to that question today? Would you write about a tragedy and how you dealt with that? Would you write about a time a friend or family member was in great peril and you realized how important they were to you? Would you write about a challenge that you faced and had to overcome, like running the Pasadena Marathon, as some from this church are doing today, or that first time you took on a triathlon? Would you write about meeting a particular person who came into your life? Or would you write about seeing somebody doing something, and as you watched them do it, you thought, you know, I could do that. Maybe I'm meant to do that. And with that, you found your vocation. Or maybe you served in a particular way, and it felt like more than service. It felt like who you are. It's a challenging question to answer at any times in our lives, isn't it? To describe an experience that helped define you as a person. You can see why colleges would ask that kind of question for a personal essay, right? They want to get to know a student. And yes, they see the grades and they see the extracurricular activities, but they want to hear a little bit more about who you are. And it's hard to name that, to focus on just one experience and tell it in a way that really captures who you are and will grab the attention of a college admissions group. I remember at a Christmas party for high school students at a church I served out in Connecticut. It was that season, you know, leading up to January 1st when people were filling out college applications, and I heard two seniors talking with each other. We'd just taken a mission trip to Honduras that summer before, and one of them said to the other, "Hey, I was going to write about that mission trip we took to Honduras for my personal essay." And then I heard another student tell her, "Oh, you know, my college counselor says everyone does that. That if you're going to do that, you've got to have your own particular take on it. You know, you have to make it interesting, tell a great story to really grab their attention." And I thought, hearing that, man, this is a lot of pressure, writing these college applications and making yourself really stand out by sharing who you are. And so I can understand why a particular college applicant named Hugh Gallagher back in 1989 wrote this particular essay to really try to grab the attention of the admissions team of a particular college to which he was applying. The question that year for him was this: are there any significant experiences you've had or accomplishments you've realized that helped define you as a person? So he could write of not just one experience, but many. So here's what he wrote. "I'm a dynamic figure, often seen scaling walls and crushing ice. I've been known to remodel train stations on my lunch breaks, making them more efficient in the area of heat retention. I write award-winning operas. I manage time efficiently. Occasionally, I tread water for 3 days in a row. I woo women with my sensuous and godlike trombone playing. I'm an expert in stucco, a veteran of love, and an outlaw in Peru. Using only a hoe and a large glass of water, I once single-handedly defended a small village in the Amazon basin from a horde of ferocious fire ants. I play bluegrass cello. I'm the subject of numerous documentaries. When I'm bored, I build large suspension bridges in my back garden. I enjoy urban hang gliding. On Wednesdays, after school, I repair electrical appliances free of charge. Critics worldwide swoon over my original line of corduroy evening wear. My deft floral arrangements have earned me fame in international botany circles. I can hurl tennis rackets at small moving objects with deadly accuracy. I sleep once a week, and when I do, I sleep in a chair. While on holiday, I successfully negotiated with a group of terrorists who had seized a small bakery. The laws of physics don't apply to me. I balance, I weave, I dodge, I frolic, and my bills are all paid. On weekdays, to let off steam, I participate in full contact origami. I've won bullfights in San Juan, cliff diving competitions in Sri Lanka, and spelling bees at the Kremlin. I've played Hamlet, performed open heart surgery, and I have spoken with Elvis." That essay might not have gotten Hugh Gallagher into that particular college, but it did earn him a Scholastic Writing Award the following year when he submitted it for consideration. And that's true. If James, who we read about in today's passage, were applying to a school, let's say Northern Galilee University, and he had to answer that question, "Describe an experience that defines you as a person," I imagine this might have been something like what he wrote. "An experience that helped define me as a person. Yes, I had one of those. Before this particular experience I'm thinking of, if someone had asked me who I was, I would have told them of the kinship ties that I hold. I would have told them of my brother John or our father Zebedee. I could have mentioned any number of those who are part of our extended family, the house of Zebedee. My family was my life. That's where I learned to walk and to talk. That's my people. That is who I was. Back then, if I were to write about an experience that defined me as a person, I might just describe a time when we're all gathered together around a family meal, and I looked around and said, this people is me. Son of Zebedee." That's what I would have answered back then if you'd asked me, "Who are you?" And were I at a party back then, and you'd come up to me and ask that classic question you do at parties, "What do you do? What line of work as you are you in? You know, when a person wants to get to know you, I would have had this ready reply: I'm a fisherman. That's what I do. It's my family business. I learned it from my father. I learned how to cast nets so they spread out over the water. I learned how to pull those nets back in as they dragged along the ground to pull in the largest number of fish possible. I learned how to mend the nets at the end of the day when they get torn up from all that dragging on the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And doing that work day in and day out, you start to feel like it's more than just a job. It's you. It's who you are. I am a fisherman, I would have told you. Son of Zebedee, fisherman. That was me. But then I had an experience that redefined me. A man named Jesus had been going around our region saying, repent, turn, change your life now, for the very kingdom of heaven, the way of God, has come near, and it is active now. You can taste and see it. It's right before you. One day, this Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, where I work. Earlier that day, he had called two fishermen, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting their nets, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. I thought the student was supposed to choose the teacher. That's how it usually works with rabbis and their disciples in our times. But with Jesus, he called his students. He was like that prophet Elijah who came walking by Elisha, son of Shaphath, one day. Elisha was engaged in daily labor when he heard the call, like Peter and Andrew were as they were casting nets. Only Elisha wasn't fishing. He was plowing in the field with 12 yoke of oxen. Elijah threw his mantle over Elisha, and it was like an academic robe inviting Elisha to join the great prophet Elijah, to be Elijah's student at that school of prophetic word and action that Elijah was leading. And Elisha left those oxen. He ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you, he said. That's what it was like when Peter and Andrew were called by Jesus. It was like Elisha being called by Elijah to be a student of that great teacher and prophet. Jesus then came to me, James, and my brother John. We were in our boat with our father mending our nets, and Jesus called us. Immediately, we left the boat and our father and followed him. How did that experience define me, you ask? Well, that moment Jesus' call hit me, it was like I was somebody else. Well, not completely somebody else. I had the same body I had before. I looked the same. My name was still James. My biological father was the same, Zebedee. And I didn't suddenly unlearn all I knew about fishing. My brain didn't go blank. In some ways, I was the same person before I heard the call and after. But in terms of those core identity markers I had before Jesus called me, family and work, son of Zebedee, fisherman, those changed in an instant. I was James, follower of Jesus Christ. I was no longer son of Zebedee. Jesus and not my father was now my central teacher, and I did what a good student would do from back in the days of Elijah and Elisha. I went to live with my teacher. In some ways, I was still a son of Zebedee, but I had a new central figure in my life to guide and direct me forward, Jesus Christ. After Jesus called me, I was a fisher of people. My family, my job, that's who I am. And they changed when Jesus called. I imagine that's the kind of essay James would have written, and I wonder if it would have gotten him into a good college. If you were writing about not just any experience, but that experience of being called by Christ, called by name, how would you say things changed for you that day? If you believe that you've been called and claimed by Christ, as these fishermen were in today's text, what shifted for you when Jesus called? Pretend that's your essay question today. What would you write? If you're a pastor like me, you might answer it this way. You might write about the time you got called to professional ministry. Well, Dale, I got hold of your two-volume commentary on Matthew's gospel, and first of all, let me say, it's a heavy sucker. Lord have mercy. I mean, it's even bigger than Mary Ann's commentary on the Gospel of John. I don't know what it is about folks who are part of this community writing long commentaries, but it's a big one. But I love in this text how you remind us of how John Calvin interpreted this particular passage. He saw it not as a call of every person, but in particular of that call to people to ordained ministry in the church. That was Calvin's interpretation of it. And so pastors like me could write a personal essay of leaving the family business as James did to join Jesus in his work of professional Christian ministry. After that, they didn't get their pay anymore from fishing. They got it from people donating to this ministry called Fishing for People. And like so many called to pastoral ministry, I did have an experience of leaving the family business. I grew up in a family of medical practitioners like Maya did. Maya, I feel for you growing up with a mom and a dad who are both doctors, both in the medical profession. I had a dad who was a doctor and his brother was also a doctor. And their father was a doctor. My mom was not only a nurse, she taught nursing at San Diego State University. And her brother was a doctor. And his son was a doctor. He became a hand surgeon. My brother, of course, he became a doctor. And his two sons are now thinking about medicine. And you know, I can see why back in ancient times especially, people would take their father's business or learn skills from their family household, and that would then shape the kind of occupation they would take up, because when you grow up in a family of medical practitioners, you've got mentors and tools and all these resources for pursuing that particular line of work. There's all sorts of support in doing that. But like James, I heard a different call. Like James, I heard the call of Christ to fish for people, to invite people into Christian community, lead them in the work of loving God and neighbor in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. You might say Jesus called me from a family business of healing bodies to a family business of working with others to heal souls and communities by the power of the Holy Spirit and under that great teacher, Jesus Christ. But not to push back too hard on Calvin, still, I think any of us, whether we're called to ordained ministry as pastors or not, can find in this passage resonance with our own experience, can see in this an example of what it's like for everyone to be called and claimed by Christ. Every one of us could write a personal essay about an experience of getting a new identity in Christ like James got. Everyone could write an essay of how you sense your sense of family and of work changed that moment Christ called you. You had the same family name before and after receiving Christ's call, just like James did, but after Jesus called you, your center shifted. Those identity markers that spoke most deeply of your family connection, it was no longer son of Zebedee or daughter of Karen and J. Kim. Your center became daughter of God, sister of Christ. For when Christ calls you his own and you join with him in faith, you are, as Scripture puts it, clothed with his righteousness. You're welcomed into God's family. You're named God's beloved child. Christ becomes your teacher and your brother with God as your divine parent. Like James, you received a new family identity in your baptism. You received it when Christ called you, and it became, well, who you are. And you received a new job, too. A new way to answer that identity question you'll get asked at parties. What do you do? What line of work are you in? You may have been a doctor or set to become one before Christ called, but once he called you, You were a doctor for Christ, a doctor intent on using your work to love your neighbor, a doctor in whom God's work of healing and reconciliation, of justice and peace could be on display, a doctor who is also a life witness to the one we call Savior and Lord. Maybe you were a parent before Christ's call. After, you were a parent for Christ, a parent whose work was filled with the love and call of the Lord. Maybe you were an engineer before Jesus called. Now you're an engineer for Christ. And each week, just one way you live out your call. I see so many of you bring the skills and expertise from your workplace into our ministry together for Christ's church. You're like fishermen who, after meeting Christ, brought their fishing expertise to the work of Christian ministry and became fishers of people. Every week, I meet with members of this church in committees who serve here in human resources, financial management, education, music and arts, sales and marketing, caregiving and nurturing, facilities management, computers and information technology, and they bring that expertise to this community and its life together so our Christian ministry can thrive. In just a short bit, you'll get to hear from Mike Veerman about just one effort where people into computers and software decided and felt a call together as to how they and we here at Knox could be a part of blessing our community. Every one of you was called by Christ, and you have had an experience that helped define you as a person. It was that moment those words of our Savior hit you, "Come, follow me." And suddenly you had a brand new family business. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen.